Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Titus, Daf Chav Tes. We're getting very close to the end of the Perek, and we begin today on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, on the second line of Amud Aleph. We discussed at the end of yesterday's share the five terrible tragedies that happened to Klal Yisrael on Shavuos and B'Tammuz, and today we follow up on the Mishnah where we brought down five tragedies that occurred on Tisha B'Av. So we begin. B'Tisha B'Av Nigzar Alav Oseinu Shelo Yikonsu L'Oretz. The Mishnah had stated that on Tisha B'Av, the spies had come back on the afternoon of the 8th of Av with their terrible Dibar Harah, the terrible slander that they spoke about Eretz Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael accepted it and cried, and therefore Tisha B'Av was the day that was decreed upon us that the Dar HaMidbar wouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Minalan, how do we know that this occurred on those dates? So the Gemara is going to go through a series of psukim to prove to us that the spies returned on the afternoon of Ches B'Av, and Klal Yisrael cried that night on Tisha B'Av, and that was decreed upon us that we wouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael in the Dor HaMidbar. So the first pasuk that we bring down is to show us what year we're talking about. Tosiv, Vahi B'Chodesh HaRishon, it was the first month on which year, B'Shana HaShenis, in the second year of Klal Yisrael being in the desert, B'Echad HaChodesh, on the first day of the month. So it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the second year, Hu Kama Mishkan, that's Vahi B'Yom HaShmini, that's when the Mishkan was put up. So we're dealing with the second year, and this is when the Mishkan was put up. V'Amamar, and we said in regards to this, Shana Rishona, also Moshe Es HaMishkan, the Mishkan was actually made in the first year, but it was put up, Shnia Hekim Moshe Es HaMishkan Mishalach Meraglim. And this is the time of the year that Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan, the first month, first day of the second year, and that's when he sent out the Meraglim. When, Uksiv, Vahi Bashana HaShenis, now it's again in the second year, B'Chodesh HaSheni, now we're dealing with the second month, we're in Iyar, B'Esim B'Chodesh, on the 20th day of the month, Na'aleh Ha'anon Me'al Mishkan Ha'edus, the Anon moved from the Mishkan Eidus, which was to signify that Klal Yisrael should travel. So they traveled 3 days. Now, the Anon moved on the 20th, and 3 days later is going to be the 23rd. And then the Gemara continues and says, Oma Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina tells us, Osa Yom Saru Me'acharei Hashem. That is the day that Nebuch, Klal Yisrael started going down the wrong path. They turned away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksiv, as the pasuk says, V'asav suv asher b'kirbo, the Erev Rav that was with them, the people that they took out from Mitzrayim that were not really deserving to go out from Mitzrayim, and also various Mitzrayim that came along with them were in his Gairu. His avu tava, they had a certain desire that they said, oh, the man's not good enough, we want meat. V'yashuvu v'yivku gamenei Yisrael v'gomer. And all of Klal Yisrael in turn was crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, hey, we want meat, we want meat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them the slav, and they had meat for a period of a month. Chodesh Shomim. Chodesh is 29 or 30 days, so we assume the lesser amount, that's 29 days. So now we were dealing with the 23rd day of Iyar, and you add 29 days to that, and you're going to come to the 22nd day of Sivan. Dehavulhu Esrin V'Sartim V'Sivan. So we're up to now the 22nd day of Sivan. And then it says further, Siv, the Psukim continue, that Miriam, at that point in time, that was when she had spoken with Aaron about Moshe Rabbeinu, when she was punished for 7 days with Saraz. Uksiv Atisoger Miriam, we don't have those words, Shiva Shomim, but that's another 7 days. So now we go from the 22nd day of Sivan, add 7 days, we're now up to the 29th day of Sivan. Tavlu Esrin V'Tisha B'Sivan. Uksiv, the next pasuk. Now Moshe Rabbeinu sends out the Meraglim, Uksiv Shlach L'Cho Anoshim. So this is on the 29th day of Sivan. V'Tanya, and the Braisa tells us, V'Esrin V'Tisha B'Sivan, Shalach Moshe Meraglim, that was the day that it was. Uksiv Vayashuvu Mitura Oretz Miketz Arba Miyom. And they spied in Eretz Yisrael the Meraglim for 40 days. So if you go from the 29th day of Sivan, so you have 2 days left in Sivan. You have the 29th and the 30th day of Sivan. Then you have 29 days of Tammuz. So we're up to 31 days. And then if you go another 9 days, so you're going to end up coming back on the 9th day of Av. So Gemara questions this and says, Hani arbaim yom nochi chad habu. If you want to say that they came back on the 8th day of Av, and Klal Yisrael cried on the 9th day, meaning the night of the 9th day, so then our calculations are off by one. Hani arbaim yom, it would be 40 days, nochi chad habu, only minus one. So it's really only 39 days if they were to come back on the 8th of Av in the afternoon and cry on the 9th of Av in the nighttime. So Gemara says, no, Amar Bayit, that's not a problem. Tammuz, the Hayi, Shaita, Maluye, Maluya. Instead of saying that, well, Sivan was Mali and Tammuz was not Mali, no, both Sivan and Tammuz were Mali. That can happen when you're doing the months by Re'iyah. and not a problem, to therefore have 2 days of Sivan, have 30 days of Tammuz, that's 32, and then the eight additional days to get to the 40th day, and therefore they came back on Ches Av in the afternoon. And I'll show you that this is right. Abai says, Dersiv, Koro Alai Moed, Lishbor Bachuroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Moed, in other words, he made a second day of Rosh Chodesh in order to be Lishbor Bachuroi, in order to crush Klal Yisrael, the Meraglim, and the sad story. Gemara continues and says, Uksiv. Furthermore, the Pesukim say, Vatisa Kolo Eda, the Eda heard the bad news from the spies, Vayitnu Es Kolom, and they all cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayivku Ambalailahu, and the Klal Yisrael cried that night, which was the evening of the ninth day of Av. So that night of the Tisha B'Av is when they all cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have the saddest words in all of the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Oso Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av Hayo, that was the night of Tisha B'Av. And Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, Atem bechisem bechia shalchinam. You cried for naught. You cried for no reason whatsoever. I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. I'm sending you in. Mashiach's going to come. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be permanently built. Life is going to be fantastic. I'm sending you into Eretz Yisrael. And you listen to the bad words of the spies saying that, oh, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Ocheles Yoshvea, it's a land that's going to eat us up. It's a land that's terrible. And you listen to this slander about Eretz Yisrael, and you cried. You cried for naught. Atem bechisem bechia shalchinam. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will set this night up as a night of crying for all of the years to come. All of the persecutions of Klal Yisrael will be somehow connected to the acceptance of this Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael from the spies. And it's a night for crying for all generations. And so many terrible things have happened to Klal Yisrael on Tisha B'Av. That's number one, that we accepted the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim and cried for naught on the night of Tisha B'Av. Number two, Charav Habayis Barishona. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. How do we know that? So again, here we have Psukim. Tosif, Ubachodesh HaMachamishi, in the fifth month, which is of B'Shiva L'Chodesh, on the seventh day of the month, which was He Shnas Tshasrei Shona L'Melech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. This was in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Bon Huzaraden Rab Tabochim Evet Melech Bavel. The horrible general Nebuzaradan, albeit he did become a Ger Tzedek at the end, but at this point he slaughtered millions of members of Klal Yisrael. Horrible, horrible tragedy. And Nebuzaradan, who was the chief Shechta, the Rav Tabachim, he was the general in charge of massacring the Jewish people, who was the Eved of the Melech Nebuchadnezzar, comes to Yerushalayim by Yisrael for his Beis Hashem Gomer. So here it says clearly on the seventh day of Av that he started to burn down the Beis HaMikdash. Now, next pasuk tells us, these are psukim from Lochem Beis, the next pasuk tells us, Usiv, Ubachodesh HaChamishi, again, in the fifth month, which is of Be'atzol LaChodesh, now on the 10th day of the month, which is He Shnas Chayesre Shana LeMelech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, again, in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Ba Nebuzaradin Rav Tabachim, this same general Nebuzaradin comes, and Omad Lefnei Melech Bavel Yushalayim V'Gomer, and he comes to Yushalayim, on behalf of the Melech Bavel. And the next pasuk says that he burnt down the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He burnt down the Beis HaMikdash on Yud Ba'av. So we have two seemingly contradictory psukim. One says that he started burning it on the seventh day of Av, and one says on the tenth day of Av. Which one is it? The Tanya. So the Brisa says it's impossible for both of these to be correct. We have to reconcile them in some way. Yev Shalomar B'Shiva, can't say it was the seventh day, Sharei Kvar Nimar B'Esar, because the pasuk says on the tenth day. And likewise, Yev Shalomar B'Esar, can't say it's the tenth day, Sharei Kvar Nimar B'Shiva, because it says it's the seventh day. So which one is it? Hakeit said, how do you reconcile these two psukim? Shmuel says, B'Shiva, on the seventh day, Nebuzaradan Sarat HaBochim, comes Nichnasu Nochrim Lehechol Nebuch, they break into the Beis HaMikdash. But they don't burn it down yet. The ochlu, they eat there. The kilkulbo, they do all sorts of horrible things there. That's Bishvi on the seventh day of Av, Shmini on the eighth day of Av, Uchi on the ninth day of Av. Now, on the ninth day of Av, Uchi, Somuch l'chashecha, in the afternoon of the ninth day of Av, still Tisha B'Av itself, Heitzitzu bo esar, they light the fire, and they start to burn down the Beis HaMikdash on the afternoon of the ninth day, but most of the burning is actually done on Yud Ba'av, like the Pasuk says. Shenemar, Oy Lanu, woe is to us, Klal Yisrael, Kipona Hayom, Ki Notu Tzilei Erev. Woe is to us, it's a terrible thing that the day has been completed, and the evening is coming upon us. The tzel is the shade of the evening, and this is a terrible day for Klal Yisrael, that the Beis HaMikdash is being burnt down. And that's why Rav Yochanan said, "Hainu d'amar Rav Yochanan, il mole, ha'yisi ba'oso ha'dar." If I had been around at that point in time, I would not have made Tisha B'av. Tisha B'av, I would have made it Yud B'av. Lo kivativ elo ba'asiri, b'nei sherubo shelhecho bo nisraf. I would have chosen Yud B'av to be the commemoration for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because the majority of the Beis HaMikdash was actually destroyed. And Yud B'av, the fire was lit in the afternoon of Tisha B'av, but the actual burning of most of the Beis HaMikdash occurred on Yud B'av. Nevertheless, Rabbanan, the rabbi, said no. Aschalta de Perunusa Adifa. The beginning, Nebuch, of this destruction is more important for us to commemorate and remember this terrible, terrible day in Klal Yisrael's history, and therefore Chazal set up that Tisha B'av is the day that we fast, the day that we mourn the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. That's the second terrible thing that occurred on Tisha B'av. What's the third terrible thing? That's the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ubashnia, the second Beis HaMikdash, was also destroyed on Tisha B'av. And here, obviously, we don't have Psukim, because the 24 books of Tanakh have been codified long before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So how do we know that the second Beis HaMikdash also occurred, the destruction on Tisha B'av? Minolam, Tanya, because here we have a Braisa. Megalgalin Zuchus L'yom Zakai, V'chova L'yom Chayav. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets things into place in the world, so there are certain times in the calendar that are more prone for optimism and good things, and certain times in the calendar that Nebuch are destined for bad things. So the Gemara says, Mistama, it must be that if the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'av, it must be that the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed on Tisha B'av. Now, they obviously knew the date when it was. It's not that they guessed at it, but they're explaining why they knew that the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash was on Tisha B'av. It must be because of this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing this day to be a bad time in the history of Klal Yisrael. It's built into the Bria of the calendar, into Klal Yisrael, that this time of the year is a bad time of the year. And therefore, that's why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'av. Some of the Mefarshim explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically made the Goyim be aware of this, and the Goyim themselves said, oh, this is an opportune time, and let's wait until Tisha B'av to go and destroy the second Beis HaMikdash as well. And likewise, if there's a good time in the calendar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megal goes Zuchus L'Yom Zakai, so he saves up, so to say, good things to happen to Klal Yisrael at that time. Amru, furthermore, Chazal said, Kishichar Beis HaMikdash Rishona, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Oso Hayom, that day, that Tisha B'av, was Erev Tisha B'av Hoya, that's the Girsa that we have, but on the side it says that that's the incorrect Girsa, it says Oso Laila Leil Tisha B'av, that's the more correct Girsa, so that it was the night of Tisha B'av. And others have the Girsa, as the Bach says, that it should be Berishona Osa Yom Tisha B'av. It was actually Tisha B'av, which of course is what day it was. So it was Matzi Shabbos. It was also Matzi Shabbos. It was Sunday. Tisha B'av that year was on a Sunday. Umatzi Shviyas Hoysa. And it was the year after the Shemitah year. There's a little bit of a discussion about this, whether this actually means that it was the post-Shemitah year, or that it means that the next year was the post-Shemitah year. In any event, it was Motzi Shviyas Haisa, or Mishmarto Sho Yehoyariv Haisa, and the Mishmar that was on that week, the Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. This Mishmar was the Mishmar that was on that week. And the Gemara is going to tell us now about the Kohanim, so it was these Kohanim that were from this family of Yehoyariv. And Balavim Hayomrim, and the Levim was singing Shira at this point in time when the Beis HaMikdash was about to be destroyed. So Halavim Hayomrim Shira Va'omdim Al Duchanim, they were standing in their place on the Shira Malos, and in other places singing the Shira, playing the musical instruments, and Nebuch, they were supposed to be singing the Sunday song. We just said this was Motzei Shabbos. They were supposed to be singing the Sunday Shir. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that they sang a different shir that day. Uma shira hayomrim, what song did they sing? Vayoshev aleim es onam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned upon them, uverosom yatzvi seim, and in their wickedness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped them off. Yatzvi seim Hashem, Hashem wiped them off. Below his speak ulomar, yatzvi seim Hashem alokeinu, they didn't have the chance to say the second time even, yatzvi seim Hashem alokeinu, at shebo nochrim ukivashum. That's when Nebuzaradan and Sarat Habachim came in with the troops and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara adds, the same thing happened, v'chein bashnia. It was the same thing that happened in the second Beis HaMikdash, that it was Tisha B'Av. That's how most of the Mefarshim understand it, v'chein bashnia, as opposed to that it was automatically also Matzi Shabbos and Matzi Shvius in the second Beis HaMikdash. That doesn't make as much sense. So just talking about here, v'chein bashnia means it was also on Tisha B'Av. So that was the third terrible tragedy that happened to Klai Yisrael on Tisha B'Av. What was the fourth tragedy? Nilkedo Beitar. The great, great city of Beitar was destroyed. This was some period of time, 50 years or so, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Klai Yisrael was regrouping under the leadership of Rabbi Akiva, and at that point Bar Kokhba, who Rabbi Akiva thought really was the Melech HaMashiach, and Nebuch, he turned out to be Bar Kosiba, he was the false Mashiach. In any event, they were victorious originally for a couple of years against the Romans and had started the, quote, Third Commonwealth, but Nebuch, they were destroyed. And the city of Beta was the last stronghold, and Beta was a huge city, and Nebuch, there was a terrible, terrible tragedy of the Klai Yisrael. And millions of people were killed at that point in time as well, and the city of Beta was destroyed. And how do we know that this happened on Tisha B'Av? Gemara. That we just have a Mesorah that was the date that they actually destroyed Beta. And the fifth and final tragedy that the Mishnah listed that occurred on Tisha B'Av was in Nechrusha year, that the city of Yerushalayim was plowed under. Nechrusha was plowed over. Tanya says in the Braisa, now we have the gears of Kishacharav, but it really should be Kishacharash. When the city of Yerushalayim was plowed under, as the Gemara says, Kishacharash Turnus Rufus Arosha Esahecha, when this wicked Rosha Turnus Rufus went and plowed through the area of the Har HaBayis, so he at the same time also was Nigzor Gezeri. He decreed a horrible decree on Rabban Gamliel Lariga, that Rabban Gamliel, who was the leader of the Jewish people, should be killed. Now, he sent his officer to go and carry out this decree. So Ba'oso Odon Echad, this officer was in charge of carrying out the decree, for Omar Bebeis HaMedrash, and he stood in the Beis Medrash, and he announced to everybody, Omar, Bal HaChotem Misbakish, Bal HaChotem Misbakish. He said, I'm looking for the Bal HaChotem, the one with the big nose, the one who has a big nose. That's the one that I'm looking for, and he is supposed to die. Now, this Adon Echad, this Roman over here, who was making this announcement, actually did it to save Rabban Gamliel. As the Gemara says, Shama Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel heard that he was looking for him, he announced it, and Ozal, he went, Tosha Minayu, and he hid himself away from them so that they couldn't find him. Ozal Ligabi Bitsina, this Adon Echad went to Rabban Gamliel, he knew who he was, and he went to him in private, and he told him, I don't want to kill you, but I'm in a lot of trouble over here. I have to go and kill you. But the only way that I can prevent you from being killed is by myself dying. As we'll see, the Gemara says, the Romans had a rule that if one of the people involved in the decree died, so they assumed, therefore, that the decree must have been done in error, and therefore they canceled the decree. And a similar idea, when a king dies, so the decrees of that king go away, and the new king comes in and makes new decrees. So this Adon said that I have a plan over here, but you have to help me out. Amale, imatzilna loch, if I go and save you, will you bring me to the world to come? In other words, will you help me in the world to come? Will you make sure that I have a place in the world to come? I've been a Roman official all my life, not necessarily going to get Olam Haba. But if I do this and save you, will I be able to be Kone my Olam Haba? And Rabbi Gamliel tells him, yes. Omale, ishtavali. This Adon said, I want you to swear to me that you're doing this. And Ishtabale, he swore to him. Now, all the Mefarshim ask, how could Rabban Gamliel swear that this would happen? So there's two approaches that I saw in the Mefarshim. One approach is that Rabban Gamliel was so certain that if this person saved Rabban Gamliel's life, that would be such a zuchus that, yes, it would guarantee him Olam Haba. Alternatively, others say that when you're in a matzav of danger, if somebody puts you into danger, it's like a pikuach nefasho situation, and if you make a neder, you don't mean it. So therefore, even though he told the person, I swear to you, the neder is not chal, and therefore it's not as if Rabban Gamliel actually said anything. The shvuah that he made was null and void, so to say, from the start. So Rabban Gamliel really wasn't making a shvuah, and therefore he was allowed to go and tell this other nechot something that he couldn't guarantee. Not that Rabban Gamliel didn't want to save him, but he couldn't guarantee it, so the shvuah that he made wouldn't necessarily be a false shvuah. In any event, Rabban Gamliel swore to him, and he told this Adon that, yes, you'll be guaranteed the world to come. So this Adon Echad goes up to the rooftop, Nofil, he jumps off, umes, and he dies. He commits suicide, and Ugemiri, we have a Kabbalah. This is what I mentioned before. The Chigazre Gezerta, if the nations decree something, Umis Chad Minayu, the Romans had a decree, and one of the people involved in the decree, this Odon Echad, dies, so Mevatle Ligzertayu. So they go and are Mevatle Ligzertayu, they assume it must have been made in error if one of the people involved in it died before it was carried out. And therefore, this decree against Rabban Gamliel, the Baal HaChotem, was over. We'll explain in a moment why he was called the Baal HaChotem. And to show that Rabban Gamliel was 100% correct, his Shvuah, in fact, was going to be right. Yotzeh Baskol, Baskol comes out from Shemayim, Omer, and it says, Adon Zeh, this Roman officer, Mezuman L'Chai Olam Ba, he will, in fact, be Zochet to Chai Olam Haba. Now, this is a fascinating story. Why was Rabban Gamliel known as the Baal HaChotem, the one with the big nose? There's a canard against the Jewish people. We're always depicted in the anti-Semitic literature as having big noses. So this isn't staining over here that Rabban Gamliel had a big nose physically. That's absolutely not what it means. So what does it mean that he's called this Baal HaChotem? So there are many, many interpretations over here. So obviously, Rabban Gamliel was the leader of the Jewish people, and the nose is like the most prominent feature on a person's face. So therefore, that's why he's referred to as the Baal HaChotem, who's the leader of the Jewish people. Others suggest that the nose is the first thing that enters into a room. So too, Rabbi Gamliel was the first person in Klal Yisrael. When you enter into a room, your nose technically enters first. So too, when Rabbi Gamliel is described as the Baal HaChotem, it means that he's the most prominent person, he's the leader of Klal Yisrael. Others explain that the nose is the most prominent feature on a person's face. So Rabbi Gamliel was the most prominent person in Klal Yisrael, so he's compared to the nose. Others explain that the nose is what you breathe through, and therefore it's the most important organ on the features of a person, and therefore Rabban Gamliel was the most important person of Klal Yisrael, so that's why he's referred to as the nose. Others explain that the nose is representing smell, which is the most ethereal, the most spiritual of all things, and therefore he's known as the most spiritual person of Klal Yisrael. So these are some of the reasons why he's referred to as the Baal HaChotem. In any event, the Gemara continues, says, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, Mishachar Habayis Barishon, when the first base of Melech Nebuchadnezzar was destroyed, Niskapsu Kitos Kitos Shel Pirchei Kohuna Umaftechos HaHechol B'Yodon. So the group that was on, that was the Mishmar of Yehoyarov, so they gathered all the young Kohanim, they gathered, they had all the keys to the different places in the Hechol in their hands. Alu Lagag, they went up to the roof of the Hechol, Alu Lagag HaHechol, Yom Lufanav, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, since we weren't trustworthy that we should be entrusted to have the keys to the base of Eglish, now the base of Eglish is about to be destroyed, so we obviously shouldn't be the ones holding the keys. So therefore, you maftechos mesuros l'cha. So we're returning the keys to you. What did they do? Uzurakum, they threw them, klapi mala, they threw them up to Shemayim and said, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take them back. And unbelievable, v'yotza, so what looked like a hand came out from Shemayim and caught the keys and took the keys back. The Haim Kotsu, they were up on the roof and they jumped off. The Naflu L'socha Ur, and they jumped into the fire of the burning Nebuch Beis Hamikdash, and they all died. How were they allowed to do this? All the Mefarshim asked, how could they commit suicide? Why did they do this? So the simplest teretz is that they didn't want to be tortured by the Romans. They had all the knowledge of where all the hidden very, very expensive jewels and diamonds and all the wonderful treasures of the Beis HaMikdash were hidden in the various tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash. And the last thing they wanted to do was give over all these kalim, give over all these jewels and diamonds to the Romans. And therefore, since they felt they would do so, if they would be tortured and they might end up doing something that was inappropriate, and they knew they were going to die anyway, so therefore they had a heter to go and jump into the fire. That's the simplest explanation. There are other explanations as well. And about such Kohanim who were most nefesh, Konein Yeshaya Navi. This is the Yeshaya Navi, had a kina about them, and he said, Maso Gechi Zoyon. He said, this is a prophecy about Yerushalayim, Malacha Efo, Kiolis Kuloch Ligagos. Talking about these young Kohanim, what happened to them that they went up to the roof? So Yeshaya says, this city, Teshuos Malaya Ir Homia, this city is normally so bustled and active. Kiryaliza, such a happy city. Chalalayich, luchalicherev. The dead people in the city didn't die because of the sword. Below, Mesei Muhammad. They didn't die because of Muhammad, but they died nebuch that they jumped off the roof. The pasuk continues and says, Ah, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nemar, it says by Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. It brings down the Mekarkar Kir, Bishoa Elohar. Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is crying about what happened over here on the Har HaBayis. Those are the five terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. Then the Mishnah tells us, Mishnah Nichnas Av Mimatim B'Simcha V'Chule. Therefore, when you enter into the month of Av, that's a terrible time in our calendar, as we pointed out. Megalgalin Zechus Ayde Zakai and Chova Ayde Chayav. So therefore, this is a bad time in the calendar for us. Amar Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. So Yehuda, who is the son of Shmuel Bar Shilas, said over the name of his Rebbe Rav, Kishem. Just like when we enter into the season of Av, the month of Av, it's a bad time for Klal Yisrael, and therefore we have to minimize our simcha. The opposite occurs during Adar. When we enter in the month of Adar, that's a very good time in the calendar for Klal Yisrael, and therefore we're marbim b'simcha. We turn to Chof Tef from the base. The Gemara says, Amar Papa, Hilkach, therefore, Halacha L'maisa, Bar Yisrael, the Islay Dina, Behadei Nachri. Therefore, when a Jewish person is involved in a lawsuit with a guy and they're going to court, so lishtameh minei bab, don't go to court in the month of Av. It's not a good time. Dereya mazle, that's bad for your mazel. And you may not have as good an outcome as you would have liked. Limtu nafshi ba'adar. However, if it's possible to go to court during the month of Adar, that's a great time to go to take them to court. Debori mazle, that's a healthy time for your mazel. That is a good time to go and have interactions with the guy. Now, Chassam Sofer says, how come there's no problem of nichush over here? Why don't we say you're not allowed to go and divine things? And therefore, what are you talking about? Av is a bad time, Adar is a good time. So Chassam Sofer gives a very practical answer. And he says, no, you have over here a chazaka nebuch. We just said five terrible things that happened during the month of Av. So it's a vadai that the month of Av is not a good time for the Chai Yisrael, and therefore it's not considered nichush. It's just considered a very practical etzah. And the pasuk continues another statement that Yehuda said over in the name of Rav. Lo seis lohem achris v'tikva. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us that by Golus Bavel that there will be a time over here of hope. Achris v'tikva. They will give you a future and that you'll have hope. So Amar Yehuda b'rei Roshul Bar Shelas. This again the same Amar of Yehuda who is the son of Roshul Bar Shelas said over the name of Rav. Mishmei de Rav. Elu de kolim uchle pishtan, that even when they were in Babel, they still had some things which would give them hope. And that was they had palm trees and they had clay pishtan. So there still was some bright lining, so to say, in this very, very dark cloud. Okay. Another statement that this Amora made is about the following pasuk from Bereishis. Vayomer, rei reach b'ni, kireach sode asher berach o Hashem. When Yaakov is getting the brachas from his father Yitzchak surreptitiously, so Yitzchak isn't sure, is this Esav or is this Yaakov? He says, oh, I smell the reach of the Gan Eden. The odor of my son is the same odor, the same beautiful fragrance of Gan Eden. And therefore, I'm going to give him the bracha. Amar Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. So this same Amor of Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas said in the name of Rav, Kireach Sodeh Shel Tapuchim. He smelled over here the field like it was a field of Tapuchim. Now Tapuchim in modern Hebrew means apples. But here, Tosos and others bring down that Tapuchim means Esrogim. And maybe the better translation of Tapuchim is citrus fruits, a acidic type of a fruit like an Esrog. And therefore, the Reyach of Gan Eden was this Reyach of an Esrog. There is a famous Medrash that tells us that there are four opinions as to what the Eitz Hadas was. And one opinion was that it was the Esrog tree. And therefore, he was smelling Gan Eden, the Esrog tree. And this mistranslation of Tapuchim as apples probably explains why in the secular world it's Adam and Eve ate an apple, right? And it was probably a mistranslation of Tapuchim meaning really an esrog. And there is an opinion that it was a wheat tree, there was an opinion that it was a vine, and there was an opinion that it was a fig tree. And there's one beautiful opinion that, and brought down in the Medrash Rabbah and then I'll say Kalim, that it actually was all of them. It was an orchard of different trees. It wasn't one tree that was the Eitz Hadas. It was many trees, and they were told not to eat from this orchard of the Eitz Hadas. Okay. Mishnah continues, and we quote it and says, Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha, the week that Tisha B'Av comes out into. Shabbos here doesn't mean Shabbos, the day Shabbos, it means the week. Sometimes we use the term Shabbos meaning a week. So Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av Lios B'Socha, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in. What we call Shua Shechalbo, Asurin L'Sapa L'Chabes. That week, the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to go L'Sapa, take a haircut or shave, L'Chabes, and do the laundry. So on this Mishnah, Amar Rav Nachman says that this Mishnah says, Lo Shanu El L'Chabes V'Lubosh. That's to go and do the laundry and to wear it right now. That you're not allowed to do. But to do the laundry and wear it after Tisha B'Av, no problem. Aval l'chabes, to do laundry during the Shu'a Shechabo, ulaniach, and to put it away and wear it afterwards, mutter, that's allowed. Not like we, of course, paskin. The Rav Sheshes disagrees with Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes says, no, afilu l'chabes, even to do the laundry, ulaniach, and to put it away for afterwards, to do the laundry, and to wear it after Tisha B'Av, also, that's also not allowed. You're not allowed to do the laundry during the Shu'a week of the Shu'a Shechabo. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, I'll show you that I'm right. Teda, the batle katsre devei Rav. Because in the household of Rav, the people that were doing the laundry didn't do any work that week. They were batel from doing melacha, the katsre. Why are they called katsre? So Tosus explains, pirush kovsin abogadim, the katsre are the launderers. Why were they called katsre? Lekach korilu katsre, al shem shemekatsrin habegadim, ayidei rechitza samayim. They would shrink the clothing by washing it. So therefore they were called katsre, the ones that shrink the clothing. So therefore, from this episode about Rav's household, we see that Rav Sheshes says, you see that I'm right. Rav also held that you can't even do the laundry to wear after Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do laundry during the week of the Shu'a Shechabo. Again, Lamaisa, Ashkenazim extend this to the entire 9-day period of time, but technically the Gemara only brings this down for the Shu'a Shechabo. Again, there are differences between the 9 days and the Shu'a Shechabo in terms of some of the customs and the stringencies associated with them. Now, Rav Nachman had said, no, you could do the laundry during the 9 days and wear it afterwards. You just can't do the laundry and wear it during the Shu'a Shechabo. So therefore, the Gemara questions this. Most of Rav Abnuna, I'll show you that Rav Nachman is wrong. Rav Abnuna says, "B'chamishi mutarim b'pnei kavod Shabbos." Our Mishnah had said that if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Friday, so then on Thursday, you are allowed to go and do the laundry for kavod Shabbos. Now, Lamai, what would be the purpose of doing the laundry on Thursday for kavod Shabbos? Ilema l'chabez v'lilbosh. If you're talking about that you're allowed to do the laundry on Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av, in order to wear it on Thursday, so that can't be. My kovet Shabbos ika. How would that be kovet Shabbos to wear the clothing that you just washed on Thursday? But to wear them on Shabbos, I understand, but to wear them on Thursday, that can't be. Ella, it must be la'aniach, that in this situation, when Tisha B'Av comes out on Friday and you have no alternative, then you're allowed to launder the clothing on Thursday to wear it on Shabbos, after Tisha B'Av. So in this situation, but only in this situation, it means you're allowed to go do the laundry on the Shu'a Shechabo, la'aniach, to wear it after Tisha B'Av. However, that's only in this situation. Elul Haniach is only applicable in this situation. Uvachamishu Dishari, only here on Thursday is it permissible to go do the laundry on Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av, and then wear it on Shabbos. That's the only time that you could wear it Li'acharav. Uvachamishu Dishari, only in this situation. Awa Shabbos Kula Asr. But if Tisha B'Av came out on any other day of the week, so then you wouldn't be allowed to wear it for the rest of the week, including Thursday and Friday, for example. Let's say Tisha B'Av was Wednesday, Rashi says. So then, you certainly wouldn't be allowed to go and do the laundry and wear it on Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. But even Li'achrav, to wear it on Thursday or Friday, and Rashi has a girsa of Shvi, but that's incorrect girsa. Everybody deletes the word Shvi. But to wear it normally on Thursday or Friday, after Tisha B'Av, you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So you clearly see that Rav Nachman is wrong. You're not allowed to go do the laundry, even though you're only going to wear it after Tisha B'Av. So Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman is not necessarily against our Mishnah. La'olam, in fact, our Mishnah could be like Rav Nachman. L'chabes v'lilbosh only means to go and do the laundry and wear it before Tisha B'Av. That you're not allowed to do. But to wear it after Tisha B'Av, you'd be allowed to do it. And here we're dealing with ukishenlo elecholuk echad. We're dealing here with a very poor person that only has one garment. The Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi is the name of Yochanan. Mi she'enlo elecholuk echad. That if a person only has one garment, so you're not allowed to do the laundry normally on Chol HaMoed. You should do all your laundry before Chol HaMoed. You shouldn't save to do all the work on Chol HaMoed because you have nothing else to do. So therefore, if a person has only one garment, however, he is allowed to go and do the laundry for that garment on Chol HaMoed because he has no other choice. So to over here, in our Mishnah, which said that you're allowed to go b'chamishi mutarim ibnei kavod Shabbos, is dealing with a person over here that has only one garment. So he's allowed to go and do the laundry on Thursday, Erev Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a Friday in our Mishnah, and you're allowed to go do the laundry on Thursday and even wear it on Thursday because it's for covered Shabbos that you're doing the laundry. And since you have only one garment to wear, you're also going to wear it on Thursday, but you're making it nice and clean now on Thursday, so it should be clean for Shabbos, even though you're going to wear it on Thursday because you have no alternative. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about according to Rav Nachman. But if it was another situation, so then Rav Nachman would say no. That's not what our Mishnah is talking about, and therefore you would be allowed to do the laundry on the Shu'a Shechabo to wear it after Tisha B'Av. Similarly, Itmar Nami was also said over that Amar Abin Yamin, Amar Elazar, Lo Shanu El Chabez Ulo Bosh, Avalo Niach Mutar. This opinion from Rabin Yamin in the name of Rabbi Elazar is just like Rav Nachman, that you're allowed to go do the laundry during the Shua Shechabo, as long as you don't wear it on the Shua Shechabo before Tisha B'Av, but you're allowed to go do the laundry to go wear it after Tisha B'Av. Again, Gemara questions this as well. Meisve says in the following brayso, also lechabis l'pnei Tisha B'Av, afilu l'aniach li'achat Tisha B'Av. It says b'feirish over here that you're not allowed to do the laundry before Tisha B'Av in order to wear it after Tisha B'Av. Certainly you can't wear it before Tisha B'Av in the Shua Shechabo, but you're not even allowed to wear it in the week afterwards. So clearly it's not like Rav Nachman, clearly not like Rav Binyamin, Amar Rav Elazar. Raisa continues, by the way, and says, the giyutz shalanu, or giyutz, which is like a certain type of pressing of our clothing, is similar to the kibush shalahem, is the laundry that they used to do. The same halachas apply to our giyutz and their kibush, the different ways of cleaning the clothing, and they're considered similar. However, the Raisa says, ukli pishtan, for linen clothing, ain ben mishum giyutz. That doesn't have the technical rules of giyutz. It doesn't apply to those types of linen clothing. Bottom line is, Tiyufta, this is indeed a Tiyufta to Rabbi Binyamin, Amar Rav Elazar, and as well to Rav Nachman. It says, B'Feirish, you're not allowed to go do the laundry, even though you're only going to wear it after Tisha B'Av. Finally, Sholach Rav Yitzchak Bar Giyure, Mishmed Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak Bar Giyure, sent from Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav Yochanan, Af Apish Amru Kle Pishton Em Bem Shem Giyot. This Brisa that we just wrote down says that in Eretz Yisrael, the Kle Pishton don't have the halachi status of being considered laundry. The Giyot's over there is not considered a laundry that would be usher. Nevertheless, I will also lelosham b'shabbos shachol Tisha B'Av lios b'socha. Nevertheless, you shouldn't wear it during the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in the Shua Shechabo. You're not allowed to do it. Wear it even if it had the giyutz. Furthermore, the Gemara says, "Amar Rav." Rav says, "Lo shanu el lefanav." This prohibition was only to wear it before Tisha B'Av in the Shua Shechabo. Avol li'achrov mutter. But to wear it afterwards, this type of giyutz, kli pishtan. So he says that you could wear afterwards. However, Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, absolutely achrav nami yasa. No, we don't allow any type of laundry, even this giyot, which is a lower form of the laundering of the kli pishtan, that is not allowed to be done during the Shul Shechabo to go and wear it even after Tisha B'Av is over. For a question, this Mesa, it says Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av lios socha also the sabbat lechabis. The Shul Shechabo, you now go and take haircuts or shave or do the laundry. However, we said it in the Brisa, similar to our Mishnah, Ubachamishi Mutar Mipnei Kovet Shabbos. But on Thursday, when Tisha B'Av is on Friday, you'd be allowed to because of Kovet Shabbos. Again, Ketzad, what are we talking about? Chol Yos B'Yachol B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday, Mutar L'Chabbos Kol Shabbos Kula. There is no problem in doing the laundry the entire week before. That's not called the Shur Shechabo. And the rest of the week after Tisha B'Av, from if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, so then Monday and onwards, there likewise is no restriction in doing the laundry at that point in time. Mutar l'chabes, kol haShabbos kula. You can do laundry the rest of the week. That's when Tisha B'Av falls on a Sunday. What happens if Tisha B'Av falls on a B'Sheni, on a Monday, B'Shlishi, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, B'Chamishi, on a Thursday? So the fun of us, the Shur Shechabo, you're not allowed to do the laundry before those days. However, l'yachrov mutar, but you would be allowed to go do the laundry after Tisha B'Av is over. L'achrov, it's permissible to do the laundry. Chol yos b'erev Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Friday, so then, mutar l'chabes v'chamishi mipnei kovet Shabbos, like we learned in the Mishnah, you'd be allowed to go do the laundry on Thursday because of kovet Shabbos. V'lo kibes v'chamishi b'Shabbos, and in fact, if you didn't do the laundry on Thursday, this statement from the Braisa says, mutar l'chabes b'erev Shabbos, you'd be even allowed to do the laundry on Tisha B'Av itself. Tisha B'Av is Friday, but you have to do it in the afternoon, min ha-mincha l'mala. However, this certainly is not recommended. Layit ala abaye, others say it was v'tema rav acha bar Yaakov, aha, that either Abaye or was Rav Acha bar Yaakov, they gave a curse upon somebody that did the laundry on Erev Shabbos Tisha B'Av. Even though technically you could do so, it's inappropriate. That's not the right thing for a person to do. Brisa continues and says, Chol Yos B'Sheni Yuvachamishi, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Monday or a Thursday, what is the proper way to do the laning? So the Gemara continues and says, Chol Yos B'Sheni V'Chamishi Karin Shloshim After Echad. When Tisha B'Av comes out on a Monday or Thursday, so we read the regular three people that get an aliyah on a Monday or a Thursday, and the third one gets the Haftorah. The third one is Maftah. We don't have a special aliyah for Maftah. There's not four aliyahs. You only have three aliyahs, and the third one also has the Haftorah to say. However, this Tana holds that if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, B'Shlish Revi, when there is no laning, on a normal basis. So then, we only read one aliyah, Kori Echad, Umatir Echad. One person is called up to read the Torah, and that person also does the Haftorah. However, Rav Yossi disagrees, and this is the way we paskin. Rav Yossi Omer, La'olam Korim Shlosha Umaftirach, we never read less than three people for Aliyos in the Torah, so even if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Tuesday or Wednesday, we still call up three people to get Aliyah, and yes, the third person will be the Maftir, he'll read the Haftorah. Not a special Aliyah, it's called Maftir, but he's the third Aliyah, and he'll read the Haftorah. Now, bottom line is, this Brisa clearly states that only doing the laundry during the week before Tisha B'Av is also, but after Tisha B'Av, it's perfectly half the garment to do the laundry. So therefore, Tiyufta de Shmuel, this is a Tiyufta on Shmuel. How does he deal with it? So Amalach Shmuel, Shmuel would say, Tanayi, no, this is a Machlus Tanoim. Yeah, this Brisa goes against me. However, I have a Tana that also holds like me, the Tanya. Tisha B'Av Shcholios B'Shabbos, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, and likewise, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shcholios B'Shabbos, or if Erev Tisha is on Shabbos, in other words, the 8th of Av is on Shabbos, so if either Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, or the 8th of Av is on Shabbos, so then, that Shabbos, Ochel B'Shose Kol Tzorcho, a person is allowed to eat and drink normally, he has meat, he has wine, no problem, U'mal Al Shulchano Afilu Kisuda Shlomo B'Shaito, and even on that Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av, or Erev Tisha B'Av, if it's Shabbos, it pushes aside everything, and you can even have shalishudis, kisudis shalom ha-melech b'shaito, like a suda that shalom ha-melech would have been taken in, even for shalishudis, and you can have meat, you can have wine, not a problem. Brisa says, v'osu l'saper l'chabes me'rosh chodesh v'ratainis. And here it brings down the opinion that will be in accord with Shmuel. We'll bring down three opinions over here, one of which is in accord with Shmuel. So it says, you're not allowed to go, take a haircut or shave, or do the laundry from Rosh Chodesh already, v'ratainis, from Rosh Chodesh up until the tainis. Divri Rebbeir. That's the opinion of Rebbeir. That's what we're basically noach to do. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, Kol HaChodesh Kulo Asur. Rav Yehuda says that the entire month of Av, one doesn't do any laundry or cutting the hair. The entire month is a bad month, as we said, and therefore, the entire month has all of these restrictions. That's the very strict opinion of Yehuda. Kol HaChodesh Kulo Asur. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, and this is the opinion that Shmuel is in accord with, and also Ella also Shabbos Bovat, that entire week, both before and after Tisha B'Av, is also to do laundry, also to take haircuts. And therefore, this is in accord with what Shmuel had said, that even the days after Tisha B'Av, the Shur Shechalbo, and that entire week, is also to do kibbutz and to do l'saper. And that's the opinion that Shmuel goes like. We don't paskin like that. We do hold that the half day afterwards, Yud B'Av until Chatzos, has some of these restrictions as well, but in general, we follow the opinion there just from Rosh Chodesh until Chatzos on Yud B'Av, those have these restrictions. Finally, we have another Brisa that brings down these three same opinions. V'tani Yiduch, another Brisa says, V'noeg Evel me'Rosh Chodesh V'Aratayin is that these halachos of restricting ourselves in mourning are only applicable from Rosh Chodesh up until the Tainis, and that is the opinion, as we just said, of Rav Meir, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, Kol HaChodesh Kulo Asur, he says the entire month has all of these Yisurim, and again, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, in Oasu Elo Osu Shabbos Uvad, he says only the week before and after, during the week of Tisha B'Av, the days before and afterwards, that has these restrictions. Amar Yochanan. Yochanan says all three of these opinions, Rav Meir, Yehuda, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, all are darshan from the same pasuk. Ushlosha mikra echad darshu. They all darshan from the following pasuk that we have in Hosea. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Vishbati kol misosa chaga chotcha vishabata." Hakadosh Baruch says, "I will stop all your joy." Vishbati kol misosa. What joy am I talking about that I will stop? I'm talking about chaga chotcha vishabata. And each of them darshans these words for their shita. So, man, the Amma may Rosh Chodesh Rada Tainis. According to Rav Meir, who says that the restrictions are from Rosh Chodesh up until the Tainis, so that is darshan. And we turn to Lamed Amar Aleph from the word Mechaga. So, the Chag, which is a reference to Rosh Chodesh, so from Rosh Chodesh onwards. Man, the Amma Kol Chodesh Kulu Asur, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, he dashes at Mechacha, the entire month. And Man, the Amma Kol HaShabbos Kulu Asur, the week of Tisha B'Av, both the days before and after Tisha B'Av, he learns it out from the word Mishabata, and therefore, that's how they learn it out. How do we paskin? Amar Rava, Halacha, Ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like here, Rav Shimon Gamliel, like Shmuel had said, that the Shur Shechabo, both before and after Tisha B'Av, are Asur. Aye, the Amar Rava, Halacha, Rav Meir. Rava had said that the Halacha is like Rav Meir. How could he say here that Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? So Gemara says, no. V'tavaya l'kula. He takes the lenient approaches of both opinions over here. Utsricha, and you need to say both of them. Why is that? If he said that Loch Remeir from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, have a meaning. You know what I would have said? I would have said from Rosh Chodesh itself, I would have said it starts all the way from Rosh Chodesh. So the Chiddush of Rava is that we don't go all the way back to Rosh Chodesh, but we just start from the Shua Shechabo. For the Shua Shechabo. However, if he had said that Loch is like Rosh Chodesh, I would have said it meant afterwards as well. And therefore, he takes the Kula of Rav Meir and the Kula of Rosh Chodesh. So he takes the Kula of Rosh Chodesh that it doesn't start from Rosh Chodesh, but it starts from the Shua Shechabo. And he takes the Kula of Rav Meir that it doesn't go after Tisha B'Av, it's only the Shua Shechabo before Tisha B'Av. That's what he has to say, that Loch is like Rav Meir. So therefore, Rav is really telling us it's a conglomerate sheet, that's a mixed sheet of Rav Meir and Rosh Chodesh, how we paskin. Again, the minhag is that we follow the opinion of Rav Meir, at least Ashkenazim do, all the way from Rosh Chodesh until the Tainis, and really till Yud Ba'av in the afternoon by Chatzos. That's when we have most of these restrictions of what we call the 9 days. With this, we conclude today's shiur.